Saints, we really need to be careful to what we receive in these last days. There are so many things that are out there. Peter talks to us about the prophets or false prophets and teachers that bring heresies and deny the Lord. Paul said to us, if any man preach any other gospel, whether him or an angel, let them be accursed. There is a movement out there today called the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation. In this movement, some of the things that are said, people say they have communicated with Jesus and angels. They are attempting to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. They also say that Jesus Christ's sacrificial death is not good enough for our sins, and a lot more. We need to know without doubt who we are and who we listen to. There are folks out there, I'm telling you, trying to bring back the Kool-Aid. With that, this evening we want to go back and review some things about the kingdom of God. A kingdom is a land ruled by a king or queen. Here, England and Canada are ruled by King Charles. The United States is under the authority of a president. But the kingdom we are talking about is God's kingdom. There is no one that can undermine or overtake God and his kingdom. It's called the kingdom of God. But don't think no one has not tried. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 through 15, Satan said this, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And God responded, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You see, in Revelation, it says that Satan, which deceived the whole world, was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. It has been said when Satan fell, he took a third of the angels with him. Jesus told his disciples this in Luke 10:18. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. This shows us without a doubt, the kingdom of God is ruled by God and God alone. When we talk about God's kingdom, we must know what it is and what it is not. Look at Romans 14, 17. In Romans 14, 17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. God's kingdom is not natural. It cannot be seen with the naked eye. It cannot be overturned by rioting. God's kingdom is not tangible. What God gives is for the spiritual man from above. It is not for the physical body, even though in receiving and exercising in the kingdom, the body benefits from it. Righteousness, peace, and joy is the character of God. By them operating in you, they can help you change what the unrighteous, unsettled, and unhappiness you experience. When you accept the king and the kingdom, you are encouraged to search for the things in the kingdom. That brings us to Matthew 6:33. And it says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The things you need to sustain your life will be added. When it says the kingdom of God and his righteousness, We know the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. But it says righteousness along with the kingdom. This righteousness in this verse is Jesus. So we are seeking the kingdom and seeking Jesus. Jesus is our righteousness. Righteousness means the right way of living. So when we seek the kingdom, we are also seeking the right way of living, which is only in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1 and 30 tells us, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." And if that is not enough to show you who is righteous, 1 John 2 and 1 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." And you're going to try to tell me that the sacrifice of Jesus is not good enough? If it's not good enough, that would mean we are still in our sins. Jesus is what we need to be righteous in the kingdom of God that Father has given us freely. When we look at Matthew 6:33, we are seeking spiritual things, the thing the kingdom provides. What is important about this is we must believe it by faith. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In order to get the benefits of the kingdom, we believe and operate out of the principles of the kingdom. Let's see what else God says about his kingdom. Look at Luke 12:32. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Father is pleased to give to you his children, or pleased to give his children his kingdom. For an example, when a child is adopted, the new parents have great pleasure in the child. They adopt a child with all the flaws. Father has great pleasure in us and accepts us with all our flaws. They give the child everything it needs, everything to be successful. They are loving and forgiving. They feed and protect the child. They even give the child their last name. They take full responsibility. In God's kingdom, we are more than conquerors, victorious. We have been brought out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are now the light of the world. God protects us and warns us and keeps us, loves us and forgives us. We are even given his name, sons and daughters of God. We are given everything to be successful in his kingdom. Natural parents focus on the flesh, but God focuses on the soul. The flesh is temporal, but the soul is eternal. God wants us to have the best, and he provides the best to us. Looking at Luke 17:21, it says, "Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom is not something you go to the store and get or find on it online. It's not something you order or is out of stock. It didn't cost you anything and will never go on sale or expire. It was the Father's pleasure to give it to you as a gift. And he has placed it within you and has been paid with Christ's blood. But when given to us, here is what we must do, because the enemy does not want us to have it. Our victory is his defeat. Matthew 11 and 12 said, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force." Luke 16 and 16 also says, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it." It's the kingdom that must be preached, not all these other things that false prophets and people are trying to place upon you. What God is giving us, we must take it. What God offers the enemy does not want us to have it. Salvation is free. The kingdom has been paid in full, but we must press into it. We must take it by force. Listen to what Moses did by faith. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Are you willing to suffer for a season? We will only be here for a season. This is not our home. We are just strangers and pilgrims waiting for our time. We must put the natural man under our feet and deny ourselves of the pleasures of this life. Father is pleased to give the kingdom to us, and the kingdom he gives is within us. Satan will do everything he can to stop us and put every piece of flesh in front of us to block it. Remember, God gave it to us, but Satan is trying to stop it. God will not force the kingdom on you or force us to take it. If you want it, you must take it. If you want it, you must deny flesh for it. The kingdom of God is the realm or place where you have the power and ability to stand and withstand the wiles of the enemy. It is in the kingdom that you are able to see the spiritual realm of what you are fighting, where they are, and who they are in. Let's briefly look at a few other things about the kingdom. Acts 14 and 22. It says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Paul had been preaching the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ, and he was stoned and left for dead. But if you go back to verse 20, it says, howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. We must understand this. When you stand for the truth, when you stand for the gospel, when you tell others about the kingdom, everyone is not going to receive and accept and believe. Just like people are protesting women's rights now, and they are protesting gay rights and the war in Ukraine or Israel, people are going to come against those in the kingdom. But we must be ready. We must be willing to stand. We must take the persecution they put out. God is our defense and our shield. He will not only protect us, but he will lead us and guide us as well. We cannot just say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, or my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. We cannot just speak these scriptures. We must believe it by faith. Just because you are in the kingdom does not mean there will not be war in your flesh or war with others from the flesh. The enemy does not like what the kingdom offers or what the kingdom is. Until we reach that plateau, being in the kingdom of God, thank God we are in his protection. Let's close with these last two scriptures. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, starting in verse 24. And it says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See, Cain slew Abel. The world slew Jesus without cause. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he had promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. The voice of God on Mount Sinai shook the earth. But he promised after this to shake all nations, that Christ, the expected Messiah, the desire of all nations, should come, which is now fulfilled. Verse 27 says, and this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. The gospel we preach cannot be moved. It cannot be altered. It cannot be shaken or changed by the power of man. So we cannot be moved. Wherefore, we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Let us have grace. Let us keep and hold fast the benefit and gift that is the heavenly kingdom which God has given us. This is the meaning and purpose of the word. Verse 29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. And then in Revelation, let us know just what the end really will be. It says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Last, 1 Corinthians 15:28 says, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. When all is said and done, Jesus will take his rightful place at the right hand of God, that he may rule and reign again forever and ever. With that, my time is up, and I thank you for yours.